Well, the other day, just kind of sitting around the office here, and actually, I was working very hard, not just sitting around. Working harder than me, though, some guy come down the road and walked in the front door and said, "Hi, I'm running across America, and you are?"
Josh Seahorn.
Why are you running across America?
Well, several different reasons. I wanted to basically, you know, just see the country and meet people and look at the natural resources as I come across. That's what I studied in school. But I also partnered with a high school natural resource competition called Envirothon. And so it's basically where teams of five students compete in wildlife, forestry, soils, aquatics, and then a current subject. This next year, it's actually sustainable farming. So, and it's just it's a North American competition. And so I'm kind of helping get some PR for them and a little more exposure, maybe some financial support. But, and then it's also for me just to, you know, share my faith, share what I believe about anything really, and see what the country's like.
Where are you from?
I'm from Athens, Georgia.
And you decide to run across the country. A year ago, you probably never had that thought.
No, not really to run across the country. I guess a year ago, I actually finished hiking the Appalachian Trail. So I walked from Maine to Georgia, and I think that's where I got my my crazy vibe to keep going and do another long-distance trek.
How does one decide to do that? Making the decision to do is one thing, and starting is another thing.
Uh-huh.
But there's got to be some points along the way where you think, what was I thinking?
There have been some really challenging times. I had a pretty bad dehydration spell in Nevada. I've come through some snowy sections where, you know, I couldn't see trail. It was just having to use my compass. And, you know, and I've met some interesting people that have, you know, put me on my guard and that kind of thing. But, you know, those times that stuff happens. If you go to the store, it happens when you know, if you're driving down the road and you go for a run, and people are there, you know, there's all kinds of things like that. So, for the most part, I just tend to focus on all the good and positive things that, you know, I'm experiencing on the trip. But no, it really, I guess I kind of got the idea when I was hiking the AT and I finished that trip, that I kind of wanted to do something else. I kind of wanted to do another trip before I, you know, had to take a full-time job and, you know, start a family or other things like that. So, yeah, but I actually remember it was one day I was down in South Georgia. I was playing music and I went for a 10-mile run, and on that run, I thought, you know, I think I'm going to run across America. It was this weird, just one moment where I thought about it and then decided I was going to make it a reality. So,
wow. You mentioned family. So yeah. What does your family think about this?
I get that asked a lot. They like it. I think that, you know, they're obviously nervous, but I think they enjoy kind of living vicariously through the stories I get to tell and sharing that with other people about what I'm doing. So they enjoy it. They want me to be home, but you know, I'm working my way there. So, but no, they really enjoy it.
How long do you expect this to take?
Well, the trip is 4,800 miles, so I'm following a trail called the American Discovery Trail, so it's not exactly the straightest shot across the country, but it starts, for me, it started in right above San Francisco in Point Reyes National Seashore, and it ends in Cape Henlopen, Delaware. So I'm hoping to be done by maybe the end of December, maybe middle of January, but it really kind of depends. I'm a little over 2,800 miles in now, so I still have an enormous amount of distance to go, but you know, I'm on more roads now. I have a cart that I actually run with, and so there are some things that make it a little easier for me to make better distance. So I try to do 25 to 30 miles on a day.
That's a lot for most folks. That's like doing a marathon every day.
It is. It's tough, and especially trying to keep up a website. And also, you know, if I can, I try to take opportunities like this where I can randomly walk into a radio or into a newspaper place and just, you know, want to share the story. So, and those things, you know, you never know how long that may take on the trip too, so.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned up front, there's a mission to it as well. Mm-hmm. It's not just about running and accomplishing something physically. What do you get as a response when you have a chance to sit and visit a little bit with folks along the way?
You know, it's been a good response. Most people, you know, when they see me, they're a little hesitant about me just because my cart looks pretty ragged and I have a big beard. And so, you know, they're hesitant. But after we start talking, people generally warm up and, you know, will invite me to stay on the couch or have a shower, or, you know, eat food and that kind of thing. So that's been nice, but yeah, it's for the most part, the response has been very positive. And a lot of people are willing to share that with me and say, hey, you know, this inspires me to do this. Or, hey, you know, my daughter has started running more, or my, you know, friends have started, we've got together and started doing these things. And, you know, that's fun to hear, that I can have an influence like that. And really, that's what my goal is ultimately just to have an influence.
So, are people taking you in along the way then?
Yeah, they do. I have my camping gear, backpacking stuff, so that if I had to, I would camp out. But if any chance I get to stay on a couch or sleep in a bed or, you know, have a shower, I take that. So I don't have any funds really. I'm basically doing this just like I did grad school, and which is have to, you know, basically go into debt for a little bit to experience something and to learn. You know, if people can bring me in and do that along the way, it kind of reduces how much my expenses are. And because I'm not spending money on hotels, I rarely mm-hmm. stay in those. But yeah, so people have been very kind and brought me in. And I've stayed in some pretty interesting places. I say one of the most interesting was a family in Utah brought me into their house. But their house was a giant red rock knoll that basically for 14 years they'd used dynamite and blown down into the rock and then built their house inside. So it had all kinds of common amenities like indoor plumbing, Wi-Fi, electricity, but it was in this giant rock knoll, and that was really cool. I had no idea that I was even going there until we showed up too. So,
have you noticed differences in people's reactions to you or the way they perceive what you're doing when you go through different parts of the country?
I think it does depend on the type of terrain I'm in and things like that. You know, when I was in the desert and canyons and everything in Utah, the response was very what are you doing, you know, and don't even understand how I could do it. More so in the middle of the country here, it's kind of like, wow, that's cool. But you know, to this, I'm walking on roads, I'm coming through towns, so people kind of assume that I could take advantage of different luxuries more often, whether that's true or not. But you know, so there has been a little bit of a different response, but generally most people are just kind of, you know, asking questions like, why are you doing this? And how can you afford to, or whatever? And, you know, they're all real understandable questions, so I have no problem answering them, but, it's been interesting.
You're going to be in some seriously good shape when this is all over.
Yeah, it's definitely beat you into shape for sure.
You better have really sore knees, one or the other.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I have poor knees that run in the family, so I figured why not go ahead and do that now, you know, while I have them. And if I wear them out running across America, I mean, at least I have a story to go with it, you know. Yeah.
Josh, I have to ask you, because you do carry a pretty impressive-looking beard there. Did you have that before you started, or is this everybody says a Forrest Gump thing, you know, where you just grew it because you were out running?
Yeah. So I wasn't normally a bearded guy, but I started growing it on the Appalachian Trail. So in 2011. So my beard's 2.5 years old now, but I decided once I got off that trail, oh, I'll keep it for a little while. And then I considered this trip and I thought, you know, I think people expect me to look like, you know, just a crazy disheveled bearded guy. So I left the beard, and, you know, it's fun because I expected to get, you know, Forrest Gump pretty common and pretty often, but I actually get Duck Dynasty more than I do Forrest Gump. But I mean, that's okay. I love those guys, and it's all a beard reference is always a good one, you know, so, But it is interesting, though. I didn't expect that it would trump Forrest Gump, you know.
Never know what you're going to get. Well, right. And I suppose if they went to the website where you're trying to keep kind of some stories along the road, they'll hear a lot of the different stories and things that you're collecting?
Yep, people can read. I have kind of a text blog, and then I put pictures in that blog. But I've also been editing, like, HD, some high-quality videos that show people things, you know. So, like, that rock house that I mentioned, I take people inside to see that, and just some of the different stuff, the wildlife that I get to see. So there's a lot to look at, and there's a link on my website as well to Envirothon. So if a high schooler or someone else was interested in looking into that, they can have access to it that way too. So it's all basically on the website, which is just outdoorjosh.com.
Maybe a book somewhere along the line.
I would hope so at the end. Yeah, I actually intend to try to do that. So, and so far, I mean, if it's anything like the last half of the trip is like the first half, there's going to be a lot to write. So.
Yeah, I bet. You know, sometimes when you do things like this, though, I guess I'll just call it that, the stunt,
uh-huh,
you know,
sure.
the method of doing it sometimes trumps the message. You know, people get so caught up in that part of it that they forget about the actual message. Are you feel like you're getting your message across as you go too?
I do. And I think, though, that one thing I have learned is this trip, you know, it works on me physically. It works on me emotionally from being separated from friends and those kinds of things, spiritually. But it also works on me socially. And that is how I make sure people understand what I'm doing and get all the details. And so it, you know, it has helped me, you know, relate what I'm doing. So if I can tell, you know, someone isn't quite understanding a particular aspect of it, I can reiterate that. And so I have learned to make sure that the point does get across for the most part. But yeah, many people, though, do, I think, get kind of distracted by either the beard or the shorts or whatever it is. But, you know, that's part of the fun. I mean, you look at a billboard and you don't really notice what the billboard says until the third time you look at it. And, you know, the first time you're just looking at how strange it is or what the picture is, and then you read the billboard. So I understand that's just how marketing works too. So
yeah, you run into a lot of people this way and just you hope you get that message out.
Right.
Well, the other way to do it too is check out the web, outdoorjosh.com. Just squish it all together as if it were one big word, outdoorsjosh.com, and you can read some of the musings and ramblings and keep up with the trip. Josh, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.